Hello and welcome to the Ski Racing Podcast with me, Ed Drake. I am joined by both of the Dream Team from the get-go. Marcel and Ben are neither of them on holiday. They are both in the UK and both ready to get down to business to talk about, well, what was going to be a bumper weekend of racing turned out to be 50% of the races we got underway. I guess we should, let's quickly try and get through this the Zermatt Chavinia debacle. Maybe we should kick off with that one. One out of five this season, nil out of five last season for the men, and nil out of five last season for the women. So far, out of a possible 15 runs on this piece, we have got one training run. That is it. The women commence their training runs as of tomorrow, which is Wednesday, and they're supposed to do three training runs and then two races. Boys, is this one already curtains before it's already begun? Who wants to kick me off?
Cursed, is it? Spin it off. Still the races in Austria. It's the only place it has ever seems to want to run every race going. But yeah, it's really unlucky. I mean, obviously the training run, the conditions look great. The one they did get through, and then it just started snowing and didn't stop. It must have looked pretty rough while you were waiting to commentate, Ed.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it bucketed down. The final training run, which we were supposed to show on Eurosport, that was you couldn't have seen your hand in front of your face for most of it. And obviously, with no trees or anything up there, it means that with the flat light, it's even worse. Nowhere to hide from the wind, and they were really hoping to get it away, but the snow was supposed to finish snowing in the evening, but it didn't finish until the early hours, which meant there was no chance to clear it off. And the winds were high, as we expected from the weather report. So no racing yet again, Marcel.
I wonder how much the per run cost is for what they've invested already. It must be a couple million per run.
Yeah, mate. Do you know what? I was thinking that this could be, I mean, if it doesn't happen this weekend for the women, you've got to feel like this is curtains for that race before it's even started. But the amount of money that they would have pumped in already into this hill means that, I'm sure they're going to flog it for a little bit longer. But I mean, anybody that's skied on a glacier at any point in their life knows that November on the glacier at nearly 4,000 meters, it's a recipe for disaster. And surprise, surprise, we've got no races away.
I mean, it's unheard of, really. Don't know what the hell they are thinking. But, I mean, it's just, if you haven't raced at all in, how long was it now? 2 years, like six runs? No, four, six races. No, four races, six
yeah,
races.
Yeah, you were supposed to have four races last year and two races this year. But they were, yeah, so five runs, basically, each just, men and women discipline, 15 total.
So pointless, really. But maybe they can do it in spring. You know, they can maybe do it.
They should do it in the spring.
They can do it in May. I mean, they want to, you know, if they want to prolong the season and start a bit later, just do it in May. It's pretty way easier. It will be absolutely fine up there.
Women should, shouldn't they? Would be definitely. Well, you're more likely to get it done than this time of year. Did you guys see that when that training run was pulled? From when that training one was cancelled, did you hear about a couple of racers that jumped in a helicopter and went slalom training?
Yeah, they knew already it's not happening. I mean, I've just heard they literally just went there to show face for one run, and then they knew exactly nothing would be happening to the Austrians. They all went back to Austria.
Yeah, they jumped in a helicopter on Friday morning, choppered across from Zermatt to Gurgel to do a day slalom training, chopper back. As if nothing had ever happened.
Talking about climate change, right?
they're not really worried about climate change. The Austrians, well, like Ben said, the only ones that are able to run races are the Austrians anyway. So maybe they're like, right, well, they'll just speed it up. The detriment to everywhere else.
Well, conditions look pretty good. Pretty handy in Austria now.
Yeah, it looks good. I mean, across Europe, looking bumper now, isn't it? So
yeah, way better than last year. I remember last year there was no snow, wasn't there? That's why they cancelled it last year.
Yeah, last year was cancelled for no snow. This year, too much snow and too much wind. So
I'm get it right.
No, they can't. What do you make of it, Ben? Come on, mate. I know that you've like been wound up. You must be ready to go.
No, at all. It's just frustrating. Like you guys have both pointed it out. It's always a sketchy time of year. And we talk about it with the likes of racing on Solon in the GS is that's getting more and more hit and miss with what races you can and can't get away. So, you know, Marcel said it enough times now. Although we enjoy watching racing whenever it's on, you know, is it worth moving things further back so we can actually get some of these races in? And it's not looking too great in terms of getting the training runs off for the women's. The granted, it's just a rough Google of the weather, but it, you know, it's looking pretty snowy the next few days and as well. So actually trying to get any races off here is not ideal, but it's just a bit of a shame when, you know, we do the podcast, we get all excited about seeing some exciting racing, and then like you said, we just get 50% of it. But you know, we can get on to the women's, but at least we've got some good racing from one half of the cup field.
On the bright side, at least in terms of predictions league, you're not very far behind yet. So that's good for you to be a couple of races cancelled.
I think actually Ben might be leading the way out of all of us.
Marcel. Yeah, but he's not speed racing. You know, that's you and I, Ed, like speed races.
we're just coming into our own.
How's Marcel become a speed specialist?
Yeah, I don't know. Marcel is still on no points, so I think
what?
He's still on 0 points.
That is impossible.
Don't ask me. I don't do the maths anymore. I was banned from doing the maths. Gareth does the maths now. So, and he says nil point for you, and I'm inclined to believe him. So,
how many you are on?
I'm on a big, big number, really big.
One,
three. That's pretty good. Now I got Lena Dürr, didn't I? Picked her for the win, and she picked me up a third. We'll come on to that in a second.
I don't want to go that down or that wrong. But I should have just picked Leonsberger. I knew it, and I turned it around. And I would have had, actually, I would have had, how much do you get for a 3.1?
Should have, would have, could have, mate.
6 points. God damn it.
Should have, would have, could have. Ben leads the way for us. Let's go on to that now. Ben leads the way for us on a big fat 5 points, thanks to Schifrin's victory on the second day. Is that right, Ben?
No, mine was Vlahova on the first day.
I fly over on the first day. Yeah. But we have a three-way tie at the top. Arkmaster, Mark Poole, and Sean Douglas all have 13 points.
13 points.
13 points. So we're a little way behind. Ben, your other half is doing quite well with 10 points. My wife is beating me already, which is not a good sign in the Drake household. Marcel, your mum's probably beating you as well, isn't she?
Yeah, I think she has 6 or 7 points, she told me today.
Yeah, so there you go.
How many points has Mav got, Ed?
Yeah, Maverick's got loads of points. He already picked like all winners, but I can't.
You should probably just put down bits of paper with the starters on the floor and see which one he picks up before he puts it in his mouth.
Like the football used to with that. That's the octopus that used to pick the winners of the Football World Cup. Yeah. But let's talk about some racing. The women definitely didn't disappoint this weekend. We had a cracking couple of races. Levy was in all its glory. It looked absolutely fantastic. It was exactly what you want Levy to look like. Beautiful scenery and some quality racing to boot. Vlahova absolutely demolished the field on the first day. Took the win by 1.41 seconds over Lena Dürr and Leonsberger. Those sparks that we talked about not seeing in the GS, they certainly were there in the slalom. She was third, 1.55 back. Michaela Schifrin looked a little race rusty, maybe that knee injury that she picked up and has been well documented on social media. She was fourth, 1.7 back. And Sarah Hector showing that she's not a one-trick pony anymore and was in fifth. On race two, Schifrin did the business out of Vlahova. Probably could have taken off her skis and boot skied the rest of the way down and still walked away with the double because she was absolutely on fire. Schifrin was the first to say so, to be fair. She said it was a little bit of a hollow victory, but as we all know, you've got to be in it to win it over the two runs, and Schifrin did the business. Popovic, great to see the Croatian on the podium, 0.18 back. Lena Dürr rounding up a great weekend for her, two podiums, and she was in third. Hector fourth, and then Mina First Holtman in fifth. Boys, chronological order. Let's go back to Saturday. What did you make of the day? What did you think about it, Ben?
That Vlahova performance could have been any Schifrin performance of the last best part of a decade. When Schifrin had her run and took the lead by a second, and the commentators thought no one would be able to touch her. And then Vlahova came down and just absolutely wiped the floor with that first run. I mean, I thought they were being a bit over the top with Shiffrin's run because it did look like she had a couple small errors in there. But just that's the kind of performance we're used to seeing from the likes of Shiffrin, where Vlahova would normally have a blinding run and you'd think, oh, that's going to take some beating, and then Shiffrin just smashes it. So it's almost like they've reversed roles for the first slalom of the season. But yeah, Vlahova, she looked incredible both days, really. But on that first day, the kind of spite and kind of fire she had in that top section was brilliant. I thought the top section on that first course was a little bit too generous, and I like the kind of combination of the two runs, with one being bullet straight and one having absolutely massive offset. I thought that opening section was just a little bit too straight on that first run. It was just felt like a massive just pushing contest or driving contest for that first kind of 10-15 seconds. But we're used to seeing that at Levy, and I think that combination of the rollers and the steep then did make it more interesting. But I still did, that thought they could have done with a little bit more.
I know what you're saying, but I did, like you say, I think they had a good mix in there over the four runs over the 2 days. But I do like to see sometimes it's a bit of bravery in slalom, obviously, like you know getting the speed up on those short skis, dealing with the rollers and the abrupt. I think that's part of the skill as well. So I know what you're saying, it did look a little straightforward perhaps, but it is another skill that those slalom skiers have to have, and Vlahova just used that power, didn't she? But Lena Dürr, sort of, she has that beautiful sort of smooth under sort of not I was gonna say underrated, but I don't think I mean underrated, but just, you know, she's just quiet and everything just flows, and she carries such good speed, and I think it's one of those where you're like, yeah, she's absolutely flying. But yeah, it was a proper ding dong battle on that top section, and then Vlahova just dominated. Marcel, what did you make of it, Bad?
I actually thought it was quite interesting to see the first couple of races. They were really struggling with the grip, like especially when Wendy Holder she didn't have a very good weekend anyway. But I thought it was interesting to see that so many people were actually struggling quite a lot. They just slithering down, you know, on the steep part, which you don't see very often. So it was either very icy in the beginning, and then, you know, after a couple of races, it was better because the grip got more grip, but it looked a bit funky, I thought. And, you know, I mean, a lot of the girls, they were just a bit unsure on the steep, I think. You could see, like, Vlahova was properly pushing. Shiffrin was a ride, I guess. But a lot of the girls were just a bit of on the back seat. Mm-hmm. Which is obviously nothing, you know. There's four or five girls who don't do that, and then you're gonna be like any place from like 6 to 25, you know. It's very bunched up in the middle, but it's obviously the first ones are always like very far ahead. So maybe
that's interesting. We said also people struggling for grip, because I've noticed that. I mean, Ed, you've talked about this. We see it sometimes in some of the GSs where the first few fine. And then it kind of goes away for a bit while people either the ruts settle in or it breaks up a little bit. And I thought, considering it's minus 15 or whatever it is there, I thought on that first run, after about the first five or six, it really didn't look like the track was holding up until about 20 odd. And then we saw a big chunk of people like 20 to 30 and above putting in really fast times after that. So it was interesting to see that much. Like Marcel was saying, people looking uneasy, considering, you know, if you look at the social media of people, a lot of the women have been up there for a couple of weeks training, not just kind of come in last minute, pretty much went straight from Solden over to Levy. So in theory, they've kind of got the snow dialed in. So it was interesting to see it break up as much as it did, considering how cold it is there.
Yeah, I wonder if it's something to do, because a lot of that... they started, didn't they, with the snow farm snow underneath, the stuff that they'd saved from last year. So I'm no expert in snow farmed snow. In snow farm snow. But I wonder if that's got something to do with it. Maybe underneath, maybe it didn't gel that well with the top, with all the man-made snow that they obviously blow through there when it's super cold. Or maybe I'm talking absolute rubbish. But that could be potentially right. Yeah, they talked about it in comms, didn't they? That the course would deteriorate quite a lot. I don't know, Wendy Holden just didn't look comfortable. I think her skis look like she didn't wasn't too sure about what feedback she was getting from her skis. I'm not exactly sure what was going on, but she didn't solve it either day, unfortunately for her.
Yeah, her and Swim Nelson didn't have great weekends by their standards, and considering how well they both skied most of last season, it was quite a surprise. And obviously, Swim Nelson was my pick on Sunday, and she had by her standards, an absolute disaster. I mean, Wendy was kind of in both races, not really challenging the way we expect her to. But yeah, like Marcel said, really looked unsure. But you know, like we said, it's first race slalom of the season, so there could be some people that are still just kind of getting to grips with their setup for the year. You know, we talked about some of the summer training being quite disrupted by dodgy weather, so it might just be it's going to take a few races for people who are a bit more particular about their setup to get it fully dialed in.
Yeah, could be a couple of shout outs lower down the list, Marcel, unless you've got something to add in a second. But Kulturi had a great start, a lot of talk about the Albanian. She was 22nd, and obviously a massive shout out to Madison Hoffman of the Australian ski team. Have their first Australian woman to score World Cup points in slalom since 2002. Now, I've been really trying hard not to look online to see who this is because I can't remember what her name is. Can either of you remember who it was?
No, not even going to try.
One of you two can have to look it up. But I remember that was sort of in the heyday of like the late 90s, I guess, of watching ski racing on Eurosport. It's going to come to me at some point. I was hoping it was going to be one of those light bulb moments when I started talking about it. My brain would just go, just like,
you should definitely know better. We've been doing this 5 years. Should know that when you just expect something to pop into your head, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, but I'm now padding out to see if anybody's internet skills are quick enough.
I'm not even typing, so if anyone is going to need to be Marcel, while you were talking about other people who had good second runs and first runs as well, but the Italian Pertolini as well started early on that second run and took advantage of the condition. I think she set like the fifth fastest second run and ended up 17th. I think she did the same again on Sunday. So it was really good to see. That's why it was a bit confusing when we talked about the course breaking up, because it wasn't breaking up and becoming bad, but it took a while to settle down. And then those people starting a bit later really had a good opportunity to, if they could get it into their 30, take a massive advantage of it on the second run.
Marcel, do you want to take up on the Austrians, or have you found our Australian?
No, I thought Ellie Nolmeyer was pretty good. I mean, six twice, that's pretty impressive. Very consistent. I actually really like her technique. She is great. I think she's a great skier. She was probably the one that I was impressed the most, because the other ones, you know, we either know they're great or they were not great. So I thought she was super impressive. The Austrians, well,
Zali Stegel. That's who it would have been.
Ooh, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, that is a long time ago. Sorry, carry on. Go for the Austrians.
No, the Austrians, I mean, Linsberger on the first day was pretty good. Back to her, well, not usual self, but I think he was, you know, closer than he was last year. Good to see Galhuber back. Had a 13th place and a, what was the second race? 22nd, which is good for a comeback. So she will be happy about the skiing. Huber, like an 8th point, like 8th. So they are, you know, in the mix, but not in the right mix, I don't think. I think they're still a bit behind where they should be as a team. And Lienzberg is obviously the best one of them, as far as I can tell. But I don't think they would be super happy with the results.
No,
more happy than they would have been with the GS. But, you know, I think there's still lots of work to do for them.
Yeah, but I think Lienzberg, obviously, that's...
No, I'll take out her, but the rest is, you know, it's in the midfield. But a lot of them, you know, are expected to not be in the midfield. They're being expected in top 8, top 5, whatever, those kind of things, you know?
Yeah.
At some point, though, people have got to start, well, I guess the Austrian, either fans or administrators have got to look at, it's not like all these women are starting in the top seed either. It was only Tripper that started in the top seed and she didn't have a great weekend, you know? Linsberger's turnaround, when you think of where she was last year, she's coming at 3 seconds off a run from the leaders. It's an incredible turnaround. And hopefully she can really use that confidence. The notes I was scribbling down watching her, I was like, it's the first time in a year when she made the slightest error on a run and didn't just immediately, not give up's the wrong word, but just you could almost see it in her body language in previous years. She'd try and attack the first 10 gates, and as soon as the first mistake happened, you'd almost see her slump and just kind of, again, not cruise, but just look defeated the rest of the run. Whereas a couple runs this weekend, she might have made a slight error in a turn and you could just see her continue to drive. And, you know, we talked about Levy before, it's not the most challenging of tracks. Obviously, the steep's still steep, but it would be interesting to see if she can keep that confidence on the more challenging hills as well. But I was really happy to see that from her. We said last year how difficult it was to watch for someone who's been a world champion and had hit the level she has, and for a couple of years kind of basically carried that women's team. I was really happy to see that. And we talked about it last week about what's Gal Huber going to have after so long off the mountain. And, you know, those results for her are really solid. Linsberger's going to have chances this season to continue to prove that. But as much as, you know, the Austrians will want them to be winning races, the way that Vlahova and Shiffrin ski, you've got to be pretty special if you want to win a slalom race right now.
Yeah. Do you think... agreed. But just a quick question on Linsberger. Do you think her confidence would have been much higher if it hadn't been such a chasm between Vlahova and the rest of the field? Do you think if she'd been third and it had been a couple of tenths, she'd be much more confident going into the next women's slalom, which is that Killington? I think it is, isn't it? Killington slalom. Yeah, Killington slalom, 26th. Do you think she'll be looking, or do you think she'll just go, do you know what? I'm back on a podium, which I was, you know, in reality, pretty much nowhere near last season. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, the fact that she needs to look behind her on the finish list and see Shiffrin behind her, you know, granted, that wasn't vintage Shiffrin, but any day you beat Shiffrin's a good day's racing, and a tenth or so off Dua, who didn't really put a foot wrong. It's just, you know, sometimes you've got to watch the people winning these races. They're same as it was with Shiffrin when she'd dominate. Sometimes you've got to look at the person who smashes the entire field and just say, you know what, I can't really do much about that today. Sure. What did you reckon on that Shiffrin on that second run? That was her new coach's first set, massive offset. Real contrast to that first run. She, I don't know whether it was, like you said, possibly carrying a bit of an injury or, you know, not quite being comfortable yet. But I was expecting, normally when they make a big deal about whose coach is setting the course, you're expecting some fireworks from the primary athlete of that team. And she didn't really look like it was an advantage at all. It almost looked like Vlahova was quite happy to take on the challenge of, okay, your coach can set the second run and I'm going to beat everyone on that one as well.
Well, you've got to be, I mean, Vlahova with her long levers and a big swinging offset, you've got to be pretty confident that your athlete's going to go and do the business. You'd have to think that they will have trained a lot of that sort of style of set. And I don't know, it, like I said, that in the sort of intro bit, they've made a lot about this injury, and she was in hospital getting it all checked over, and you know, an ankle injury in your ski boot, even though you are enclosed, you feel every little vibration up that ankle. I mean, I ruptured ligaments racing in my ankle, and it takes a long time for you to have the confidence to go again, because, like I say, you do feel every vibration that goes up through the base of that ski through your ankle. So I think when it is rough, and it wasn't rough and bumpy, but even, you know, going down 28, 29, 30, those judder ruts and stuff will make it very difficult in a big swinging offset course as well, where you really need to have that power and aggression on the edges to get across on that big swinging offset. I would say well, hindsight's beautiful, isn't it? But the fact that she's got an injury, to have such a course where you really do need to have the power to be able to move from side to side, maybe they should have sort of switched up plans maybe and made it a little bit more mundane to try and, you know, not play into somebody, you know, to play into the strengths if Shiffrin's picking up this injury. I don't know. What do you think, Marcel?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it's it's a tricky path you walk on that side, I guess. And I mean, let's see what happens as a next step for them.
But it's always going to be a big talking point, isn't it? Because Schifrin's new coach, first time they would have set, you know, every single bit of information that comes out of a Schifrin camp, whether she likes it or not, is headline news. So one of those things where the minute that her coach is setting, that's going to be a big deal. You know, the minute, I don't know, Schifrin's tech gets a parking ticket because he's parked slightly wrong, that's going to be headline news. Do you know what I mean? Like anything that comes out of Schifrin camp is going to be news.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all eyes on her all the time. So I guess it's well, she. I mean, I guess it's also her fault as well
Yeah,
because.
she's used to it, and if she, you know, she knows that it's coming, and her and I think we'll move on to the second day unless you guys have got anything to add to the first day. But you know, with Schifrin picking up that victory, but just her interviews and stuff, and how she was like, you know, Vlahova was seconds up at the intermediate, then straddles on the steep, and it was a foregone conclusion almost that, you know, Vlahova just needs to ski to the bottom. But Schifrin, as ever, says the right things in the interview and was magnanimous in her victory. But like I said, you've got to be in it to win it, and great to bounce back from that sort of disappointment. And it would be a disappointment finishing fourth on the first day. So all props to her. Who wants to take up the mantle on race two? Go for it.
Oh, race two. Yeah, it was well good. No,
Till next time.
the no, I think, I mean, obviously it's all the same people, right? I mean, the following day, but I did enjoy the second day that again, the commentators didn't make a big deal of it, but they enjoyed the challenge of the courses, and the first one being particularly I think they said arrhythmical or no kind of set corridors on even the bit that from the camera that I quite like the crane or drone shot. They haven't showed at Levy much before. Gives you a much better feel of how steep the steep is because from the below angle you know it's steeper, but you don't realise quite how steep it is. Although it looked like a corridor, apparently the talk was it was quite varying distances between the gates, which I always like when you're doing it all the time, but when they take some of the boringness out of skiing with just, you know, obviously they did the thing where they took out the tape measures or the laser measures a couple of years ago. So there is a lot more feel on the mountain. And apparently the distances were a bit kind of mixed up a bit, which meant you had to improvise every turn and actually, you know, look at the course as it was coming at you, not just ski a rhythm. And I kind of like when that's done occasionally, you know, and it all the time, because you know, otherwise it'll get boring with people getting messed around and their timing being messed up. But it really then lets racers really express how they can, you know, judge a turn, and you don't see a lot of that. So I really enjoyed watching that on the first run. And again, Vlahova was an absolute monster on that first run. I feel like she, for a person who said last year was struggling for motivation, I don't know what she's decided her motivation is this year. I'd be interested if she does some kind of interviews to talk about it, but whatever's motivating her, it is making her ski absolutely
Yeah,
rapid.
I want some.
I want some of that. Yeah, exactly.
What did you make of it, Marcel? Go on, mate.
I don't know what she did over the summer, but she's definitely recovered from her, you know, low down last year. She just looks so solid and, you know, pushing every turn. Who set the first run?
Not too sure. Ben looks like he's checking. But that course at the top, I thought, you know, it was a bit Kostelic-y, wasn't it? It was a bit mad. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, he was a bit mad.
Which course, Marcel?
Who set the first course on the second run? Because I
The
feel like
first course on the second day was Jörgen Nordlund from Sweden.
yeah, I mean, I don't think the girls are much used to that, like the Kostelic set. They usually have, like, you know, it's not easier, but yeah, it's not the Kostelic set. Let's put it that
Was
way.
the first run the one that had the hairpin you could go two ways through?
Yeah, and then it was almost straight into it. It was into a flash after that, wasn't it? And it was like,
It had a really
it sort of
big
looked a bit,
exit because Molsan like got lost, or not got lost, but kind of looked like she was changing plan midway through
certainly got
it. And then,
distracted.
yeah, I think there's, but as a slalom racer, you do get that sometimes where they put a massive gap in, and it's so rare that you have that long to think that you think you must have gone wrong because you haven't hit a gate in like a second. You're like, what just happened? There's normally a gate by now, and you could almost see her looking around like, where is the next gate?
So true, actually.
Oh, it's good though. I enjoyed it. More of that, please. Keeps them and us on our toes a little bit. Takes the mundane away from left and right, doesn't it?
100%.
But yeah, both Canadians, like you say, Ben, did really well again. Nolmayr, and Saint-Germain, sixth and seventh. Saint-Germain looking pretty powerful this year. I mean, she looked powerful last year, but she, you know, a couple of some great sections of her runs. The same with Nolmayr. Those two are going to be a great little. I know they've been on the scene together for a little while. Nolmayr's had like three or four ACL surgeries already, so she can stay injury free. And she did a couple of really good results. I think it was like two seasons ago, maybe the first COVID year where she was putting in some good results. It's great to see her back that up. And then Kultori back in the points again, 25th, 2.93 off. So, you know, she's making marches towards a top 30 start. And if she gets a top 30 start, then you can guarantee a top 15 is pretty soon on the cards, don't you think?
Her career is going to be incredible to follow. Like, she is so young at the moment and she's coming off an injury. I can't wait to see what kind of skier she's going to be like 5 years time, let alone later on this season. Like you're saying, if she gets that start number down, both days starting 65 and relatively comfortably putting it in the 30s is incredible consistency already for a racer of that age, and just fast as well. You know, occasionally we see the Brits when they're starting outside of the 30, if they're in the 40s, they can get in there, and sometimes the 50s, but 65, yeah, 2 days in a row is incredible skiing.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of doesn't happen. That doesn't happen that often from those sort of high numbers. And to do it back-to-back days, I mean, all power to her, because that was pretty special. Popovic on the podium, that was pretty epic as well. Great charge in second run. She just absolutely threw caution to the wind, didn't she? No sort of self-preservation or protecting any sort of, you know, wanting to ski down with a quick time. She literally wanted to win by the look of it, and was less than 2/10 from it as well. So good work to her as well. I think she, again, look at more consistency, and you never know with these youngsters, like you say, Ben, with Kulturi, but Popovic isn't exactly that old, and Zrinka Lucic as well, knocking on the door. Those two are going to be a little team as well, aren't they, in terms of pushing each other all the way. It's just a load of real exciting talent going on through the scene. But you just really, really hope, as much as we talked about it last week, about great to see Vlahova back, I really hope that we don't see these types of winning margins too often, because it's just, I mean, it's great as a spectacle, but I want to see some tight racing where I'm not sure who's going to win. Whereas Vlahova left it in very little doubt, all barring obviously the straddle, but do you know what I mean? It's going to be, you can guarantee the next slalom on the predictions league is going to be full of Vlahovas, isn't it? No one's going to go anywhere close to anybody else with the sort of start that she's had this season. Because if she can keep up this form, it's going to be absolute decimation.
You say that, do her with a couple podiums as well, though. Like, she's proving consistency where she didn't necessarily have it before. Obviously, there was a big thing with her in previous years of how many times she was winning first runs and then not putting the race away and those kind of things. A bit like Wendy, with not being able to cross the line and get that first win under her belt. So her putting that kind of first couple races down with you know, four really good runs, really consistent, like that's shaping up well for the rest of the season. And like you said, although they're not necessarily young, just seeing different names around that top few was interesting this weekend. Like you said, with Popovic, she's not particularly young in terms of, like, when you're considering Kulturi's best part of 10 years younger than her. So it's just good when there's other names in and around that mix, even if they don't have to be, you know, the youngest on the tour, just new names competing for those podiums. And like I said, the resurgence of people we've seen before with the likes of Linsberger.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's nice to see some other people on top as well. Otherwise, you get boring. Very boring. No,
But
I think you know it's always interesting to see who you know had a good off season. Like, is there anyone new coming in? Couturier, obviously, she's had an injury last year, which you know she apparently recovered really well. There's lots of things to you know to see on the first couple of races, but then now they have a bit of a break, so let's see how you know people are doing in America. But it's at least a good indication that Bar of Vlahova and maybe Shiffrin, it looks like it's pretty tight.
Yeah, it's going to be good, isn't it? It's going to be really good. Ben, you sounded like on our little pre-chat before going live that you were going to start quizzing us about something. Come on.
No, I was again looking through the results after watching the racing on the detailed bit that Fizz put in. And Marcel might have seen it now. He's been looking for who's setting courses. They just had a quick section in there of the forerunners, and I noticed the somewhat famous name for in the first run both days.
Yeah, getting a sneaky bit of training.
Henrik Kristoffersen.
Yeah,
how's
man.
He sneaking in there for forerunning on a World Cup race? I didn't think that was, not that there's necessarily a rule against it, but I generally thought that the kind of thing was
Do you know what I would
upon.
Have loved to have seen? I would pay proper money to see what time he got.
Yeah, me too, actually.
I mean, you're the man with the contacts, Ed. Drop someone a text. You know someone's got it written down somewhere.
Someone's got that written down because...
Do you know anyone who's mates with Kristoffersen? He'll tell you what he got.
Yeah, it's easy peasy. Actually, to be fair, I might know a guy.
Dave might know a guy.
But you know what I mean? I think that would be quite interesting. Not because... By no means because I want to be like, no, look at the gap between the men and the women, but more because I just want to see how monstrous Vlahova's runs have been. So that would be pretty epic to see if she's within, I don't know, a couple of seconds.
Especially some of those splits as well, where she was absolutely flying. That would be great to see. But I just thought it was quite surprising that they let him sneak in there and get some
a lot of
effective,
them are up
effective
there,
race practice. I saw a lot of guys training up there, is why I was then like, oh, but if he's getting good training in, why is he forerunning? But yeah, then I was scrolling around to see if we could find anyone else in there, like see if David snuck himself in a.
Was it only him? No, no other Norwegians, nobodies.
No one else has finished, I think.
It is interesting that, isn't it? I wonder how and why he either was allowed to or decided he wanted to. I mean, you'll be testing more of those boots, and we talked about the boots, didn't we? How they're sort of on the R&D for the boots as much as possible. So maybe they wanted to.
I'm here as a product developer, guys. I'm not a World Cup racer today.
Yeah, exactly. You know, to be fair, that is now part of his job. If he wants to win, he's got to try and get his boot up to scratch.
It looked all right in Solden. It was doing all right for a run.
Yeah, I know. Considering the boot's like a month old or something, stupid. Imagine. Yeah, don't worry about it. Just put the thing that connects my my body to the ski on for the like fifth time and I'll do a World Cup podium. Absolute. Yeah. Yes. Well, anything to add on the racing, guys? We had Charlie Guest racing the first race for the Brits, didn't, and Victoria Paller as well. Unfortunately, neither of them managed to make the second run. And then Charlie has been battling with a bit of sickness and health issues over the last couple of seasons or so, which she talked about on her social media. So I'm not going to go too much into that, but she wasn't able to compete on the second day, which is a real shame. So we just hope that she's able to recharge and get back to where we know she could be. Because I said about before we went into this race, she's got great memories as well as probably some nightmare memories as well, but some great memories if you sort of break it down and try and take the good stuff out of it for some epic skiing a couple of seasons ago here in Levy. So, shame that she couldn't put it down. On to the next, I guess.
Yeah, she looked good on that first run on the first day. just over half a second off making the flip. And obviously, because she missed a lot of last season through injury, her start number was pushed back quite a bit. Obviously, we used to seeing her start in the 20s and 30s, and she was up at 49. Which, you know, isn't an excuse, but it's just not where she's used to starting recently. So you're a bit out of rhythm with skiing those ruts to break through. So I thought we saw some signs in there of the Charlie we've seen the last couple of seasons when she's been healthy. But like you said, hopefully she can, you know, get fit and firing. You said Killington's coming up. I think she's had pretty good results there in the past as well. So hopefully she's feeling good for Killington and can put a result down and start working her way back up that start list.
Anything for you, Marcel, to add on our slalom racing?
Oh, I think it was a great race. Good start. Sad that we couldn't see any downhill action going on this weekend, but hopefully next one.
Yeah. I think my highlight was some of the pictures that we saw from Levy. How much did it make you want to go and ski there? I mean, I'm actually
going to go skiing very soon, so I can't wait.
I mean, I want to go to Levy, though. Look at how beautiful that was. Take me there.
Every year. Everything they show that race, I'm like, oh, I really want to go skiing in Levy.
The men are not racing there anymore. I think it was a good race for the men as well.
Yeah. Agreed. Would be good, wouldn't it? I mean,
well, it makes more sense than doing a downhill. This time would be
doing a downhill at 4,000 metres on a glacier in November. On that note, that's what's happening next weekend for the women. They do start a
maybe.
Little, maybe, yeah. They do start a little bit lower. So I think they basically start on the border. So I'm not sure if the whole cross-border World Cup tagline that Chavinia and Zermatt have been holding it counts. Because I think
on the calendar it said Zermatt Chavinia. Organised by Switzerland for last week, and this week it's an Italian race.
Yeah, which would make sense because the start hut is basically on the border, so the start area, maybe they'll still claim it first cross border if we manage to get one away. So the women are in double downhill action in Zermatt, mostly Chavinia, and the men have a single. Why it's a single slalom in Gurgel, which is Austria. All on Saturday. Shame that they couldn't have. I think they even put their hands up in the air, didn't they, to run the Solden GS. Real shame that Fizz didn't sort that out and to be able to run.
Well, I'm surprised they always managed to sneak like some new races in. Oh, let's do a slaloming night race. Let's do maybe Gurgel slalom. Sounds good to me. Let's do it. I don't know how they do it. They always get like more races.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it just seems weird that it's just a single Saturday, especially when we miss the GS. It's a tech race in a tech place. Maybe they've got... I've not skied there, Marcel. Have you skied in Gurgel? Is it homologated for a GS?
It's not a GS track there.
No?
No.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it's a really simple answer, whereas some Austrians banging his head against...
I think, actually, Gurgel said that they don't necessarily want to do it because they just want to focus on, you know, delivering a good slalom. And building a GS slope is a lot more difficult than a slalom one because it's a lot longer and, you know.
Yes, it's much easier, isn't it, slalom?
It's much easier, and I think that, you know, they're quite easy. Lightly. I don't know why they don't do two slaloms, but I guess they have enough slaloms anyway.
Yeah, there's already 13.
You can never have too many slaloms.
Yes, you can.
Come on, boys.
There's 13
on
the calendar already.
Yeah,
exactly. What's one more?
14, too many.
Well, we've seen the last like two or three seasons. It's not going to determine the outcome of the overall because none of them can stay on the slope for more than four races in the season. They'll just bail. So have as many slaloms as you want.
Yeah, maybe the Swiss didn't want to make it a double slalom just in case that gave the Austrians more points in the overall standings when Odermatt is going for the overall globe. Is that like a bit... Conspiracy theories could be though. Ooh,
keep an eye on that one.
So fingers crossed we get a Zermatt downhill. They are supposed to, like I say, supposed to do three training runs: Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then do racing on Saturday and Sunday. But yeah, Ben said the weather and the long range forecast that I looked at earlier on in the week was saying the same sort of things, that it's going to be snowy over the next few days, and then maybe clears up at the weekend, but. They've got to get at least one training run in.
Can they cancel one of the races, Ed? And They could find Saturday was okay to do a training run. Could they turn Saturday to a training run and race on Sunday?
I think they could, but what they've done in previous years to that sort of thing is basically done an early morning training run and then a race. So you still get the double races, is what they've done a few times. In I think they've done that a couple of times in Kitzbühel. They've definitely done that. I think in Kitzbühel. So yeah, they'll run. They'll just do an early morning. Yeah, yeah, basically, yeah, yeah. Get those lungs working. So that's, I would assume that as that's been done before, that's probably what they'll do again, which obviously means, I don't know. But then it is the first time they'll be racing on this hill. So extra danger, danger, danger. So we'll see. Anything to sort of comment on? I mean, we've sort of done Chavinia Zermatt in terms of what we're looking forward to seeing. Any racing at this point is my answer to that one.
Something, anything other than pictures of it just snowing.
Yeah.
What about picks?
Yeah, we'll go straight to picks, Marcel. Go on then.
Picks.
Go on then. Let's go.
And I go
with as the person with 0 points, Marcel, you get to go
first.
Ilka Stuhec. Benny, you write this down? You look like you're scribbling away. Goop Bahrami.
That's too flat for her. Don't think she's going to be very good there.
She used to dominate Sam Moritz, and that's like a...
That's very true.
So we're having a race in Italy, and you both just left me Goggia.
Yeah. Yeah, might have made a mistake there.
I was like, we had the big chat last week about the Swiss and the Italians are going to be the only people who've ever skied on it before, and all that kind of stuff, and you both just breezed over that one. I won't pick it for the second race, though. Marcel stole my pick. I was actually going to say Stuhec for the first one, but I think I'm going to pick out for the second one.
All right, then I'm going to go. I am going to go Brunoni.
Oh God! Well, let's go. Gotcha. She might be a good pick.
Yeah,
you didn't want to go Hortley or anyone. Get the Austrians in there, Marcel.
I really need some points.
You better hope that she keeps it there. Basis to the snow.
Once she's finished winning the first race, she'll just crash into the advertising at the bottom and not race on the Sunday, Marcel. True Goggia fashion.
All right, well, that's done. So the men are racing in Gurgel in Austria. Marcel, what's it like?
I think it's not too difficult. It's pretty standard.
Is Dave's home field advantage gonna help him out?
Well, not in my picks. I'm gonna go for Christofferson, but
you don't even get to go first. You can't go first.
I go first, last, first.
No, because I've gone second, and I'm going first. So I wasn't gonna go for him, but I really want to do it now just to piss you off. But do I actually want to see him win? I wouldn't mind seeing him win. But I'm going to go Schwarz, I think, for a hometown glory.
Bratton, maybe he's planning a comeback.
Marcel says Bratton, write that down.
Bratton, good fit. Noted.
It's in the book now. Go on, Marcel. Who are you thinking?
You go. Come on, you go now.
Go on, take his Christophers.
I was trying to think who else could be interested. Well, you said it's pretty
that's
easy.
That's why it almost doesn't matter who goes first when picking men's slalom, because
draw him out of a hat anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yule is going to be up there, isn't he? So Zenhuizen is going to be up there.
What are we saying for crazy money?
Nah.
Well, bear in mind, last time they had a hill that he said was pretty easy. It was like the meadow or whatever it was. He said like a meadow fairy tale, and then he won. So I was just like, if it's a pretty easy hill, maybe he'd be one to look for. Despite how many times he's let me down in the past, I'm going with Noel.
Fine.
You want Christofferson?
No, I'm going for Ramon Zenhuizen.
Always going. I said that's he was just, one of Ed's,
he was just
one of Ed's
out
go-to
there, wasn't
picks.
He was hoping that one of us was going to bite on the Christofferson. He didn't think Christofferson's actually going to win. He's just been like, just throwing curveballs.
He must be tired. I mean, he's traveling all the way from Levy down there. So,
I mean, you took down pretty much the entire top 15 from last year.
And anyone can think
any of the possible.
I'm just looking at the last
year. McGrath, Vinatza.
Sennheisen was winning two races last year, Chamonix, which is pretty easy, and the last one in Soldeo as well. So he seems to be on good form. He's tall. He's usually very good on flats. You know, he has it all to win.
I think, like I said, picking a men's slalom in the first slalom of the season when it's not somewhere like Val d'Isère on that crazy hill, when it's on we are trusting what Marcel says here, that it's not the most difficult of hills, where it could be, you know, it is like picking names out of a hat because you've got so many that could win. Christoffersen, Yule, Sennheisen, Noel, like there's just so many that have got past history of winning World Cups already. And Dave Riding, which I think, you know, he's going to be going into this one feeling quite confident. Start of the season, the old boy's going to have life in his legs because it's the first race of the season. And it's Gurgel, which obviously is one of his head sponsor. So he's going to be feeling, you know, like he's got a bit of a mission on. And who knows?
He's going to have to do too much press. He's going to be all tired from doing all the interviews.
Too much talky-talky.
Yeah, but I mean, the men's slalom is such an exciting field. You think of the fireworks we saw from AJ Guinness last year. Guinness.
Oh yeah, what do you think he's going to do? Go on. Do you think he's going to be able to pick up where he left off?
I really hope so. He had some raw speed last year and could have won. You know, I say could have won. Could have been, you know, up there in a lot of races. He's at that stage where he's a little bit hit or miss. In kind of Goggia style, it's either all or nothing. But if you've got that kind of speed, that's how you've got to ski. We've seen enough over the years. Playing it safe in like the men's slalom isn't going to get you anywhere. You might get some 15s and 20s, but you know these guys are looking for wins. And playing it safe is not going to get there. So I'm really excited to see what he's going to do. Has Michael Mack got anything left in his legs, or is he going to be the new De Gruyter that just won't retire?
Maybe De Gruyter is unretiring and doing his comeback race. Maybe he's forerunner. Who knows?
Yeah, because he's Strelzi, he was one of the guys that went across and did that sort of helicopter slalom day, wasn't he? So I hope that he's back. That would be nice to see him pull some of that old form.
Yeah, he had a bit of a struggle last year, didn't he?
Didn't finish, couldn't finish a biscuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's he going to be starting? Is he going to be back out of the 30?
I think he might be just below 30. Well, he's definitely not in the 30s, I don't think. We'll figure out in a second because I'm having a look at it.
You go for it.
Okay, while you're doing that, do we know if Laurie and Billy are both going to be there as well as Dave? I think we've got the whole squad.
I would assume so. I don't know is the answer to that one, but I assume that both will be there. So, you know, anywhere close to, I think Laurie's picked up better fizz points now as well. So I think it will be interesting to see whether he is able to, you know, not have to go quite so gung-ho, because obviously when you're starting way outside the 30, I think he was in like late 50s, wasn't he, in 60s, you literally have to just go absolutely ballistic to be able to get anywhere close. So we'll see if he's able to do that or not.
Yeah, I mean, you can, so Strolz is definitely in because there are quite few people not skiing.
Yeah, so Strolz is ranked 32nd on WCSL World Cup start list, and obviously you've got...
So he will fall into the top 30, which is, you know...
Yeah, because in theory you've got...
So you have to keep pushing there.
Yeah, so you've got no Pantera, have you?
Billy has very good fist points. He has like 33, I think, something like that. And then,
either way, you've got no Bratton and you've got no Pantero, so you've got it's instantly in the 30.
He must be about 55 as well now.
What's that? Sorry,
Stefano Gross. He must be quite old as well.
Yeah, I think he's got a few years on him, Stefano. I think he's, well, I'm just pulling up his thing. 37. Yeah, he's born in 86.
That is, well, you can go. And so Laurie has he's ranked 53rd in the world, so that will give him maybe a bib somewhat between 45
Yeah, but
around.
he's got better fizz points than that, I think. So he'll be starting a bit, because obviously the outside the 30 is done on fizz points, isn't it? So
I know,
WCSL
but I'm looking
points.
at his points now. He's 53rd in the world, so he will be probably somewhere between 40 to 45.
Yeah, I think he's like, yeah, I think he was saying that he's anticipating being low 40s, I think. So fingers crossed. And we'll see. Gents, anything else to add? Anything that we might have missed? Of course
Let's
not.
go, Dave.
We're
Let's have it.
professionals. We don't miss anything.
We miss
Right.
everything, but it's funny.
Yeah. All right, boys. Thanks a lot. And until next time, bye for now.